John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. If I were to give this message a title tonight, I would title it, God is a sending God. God is a sending God. And folks, we can go back to the Old Testament, start in the book of Genesis. And we can see in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And we're not going to turn to all these verses and read all of them. But we see that God sent Abraham from his country, out from his kindred, into the land of Canaan. God sent Abraham. And we see this time and time again. In Genesis chapter 45, we see that in fact, let's turn there. Genesis 45, please. And I want you to notice, Joseph is in the presence of his brothers. Verse 5, chapter 45. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. God is a sending God. In your Bibles again, Exodus chapter 3, please. The book of Exodus. And here we see in the life of Moses. Moses sent God to deliver his people from the oppression of Egypt. He sent them to a place of freedom and liberation. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, please. Verse 10. Now therefore I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 12. And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And then we see a succession of prophets that were sent by God with warnings and promise to the children of Israel time and time again. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, please. The book of Jeremiah, and I want you to notice with me in chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, and I'm going to have you notice with me verses 25 and 26. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. Then after the years of Babylonian captivity, he sent them back to the land to rebuild the temple, the city, their national life. And then we slip over to the New Testament. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read that when the fullness of time was, when the time had fully come, God sent his son. He sent Abraham. He sent Joseph. He sent Moses. He sent the prophets. God is a sending God. And then we notice, continuing, that when the Son returned to the Father, the Holy Spirit was sent. And we read in John chapter 16, in Acts chapter 2, of the sending of the Holy Spirit. And then in John chapter 17 and verse 18, we see that he sent his disciples. And then we read in five different places, that which is referred to as the Great Commission. But He has sent the church to go with the gospel story. And then we could go over to Acts chapter 13, and I'll not stop there because Brother Arrowood preached on that Sunday morning. But in Acts chapter 13, we see that Paul and Barnabas were sent. I'm just saying this evening that the God of the Bible is a sending God. And folks, hear me. The most wonderful thing that can happen in your life and my life is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And to give ourselves totally in unconditional surrender to Him. And then to be willing to do whatever He wants us to do. And maybe it's a garage mechanic, maybe it's a nurse, maybe it's a truck driver, maybe it's to the regions beyond. Folks, hear me. The most exciting place that you can be in your life is in the center of God's perfect will. And sometimes I think we get to the place where we just kind of become presumptuous and take things for granted. I'm now in my 50th year of preaching. I'm not real young like I used to be. But still, in my daily prayer time, I pray, God, I want to be in the center of Your perfect will for my life. I never dreamed that I'd be in the former Soviet Union. That would have never even crossed my mind. But when you pray, God, lead me. God, show me. I want to be where You want me to be. You might be surprised where God will take you. And you might be surprised the adventure and the blessings and the thrills that you'll have in giving your life totally, unreservedly to a holy God in His perfect will for your life. Now, you say, Brother Cadwell, how do I become one of those that are sent? And let me say this. If you're sitting here and you say, preacher, I'm happy where I'm at and I don't care. God have mercy on your wicked heart. If God has some place for you to go other than where you are, you ought to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to do that which pleases Him. It's all for His name's sake. We ought not to have an agenda that's contrary to what God's will for our life is. First of all, if you and I are going to be sent, we have to be willing to present ourselves. We have to be willing to be available. We have to say, Lord, I'm Yours to do with whatever You please. And I've said this so much when I preach, and I guess I just continue to say it more and more, but God never asks anything of any of us. But what He's always set the example. And I want you to notice over in Matthew chapter 26, please. And we read in verse 39 and 42. And I'm just going to read part of verse 39 where He says, nevertheless, not as I will. This is Christ. He's in the garden. He knows there's some dark, cloudy days coming. He knows that His life is in the balance. And He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. Even the Son of God said, I want to do Your will. He sent His Son, and He sent His Son not to disobey, but He sent His Son to do the will of a holy God. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, on his way to bring more persecuted Christians to be in prison. And he meets the Lord on that road. And when he recognizes who it is and what's taking place, the first thing he cries out, what wilt Thou have me to do? Let me ask you something, sir. Are you willing to do whatever God wants of you? Do you ever pray about it? Do you ever meditate on it? As a preacher preaches Sunday morning after Sunday morning, service after service, do you ask yourself, God, what is it that you have for me? Now, please, I'm not trying to unroot somebody. I'm just saying that I've been preaching long enough to know that there's always all kinds of needs in every congregation. And there may be a young couple. There may be an elderly couple. There may be a young person. And you're battling with God about what His will for your life is. You can't afford to argue with God. You just need to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say. Whatever you want. And the Apostle Paul said, what will thou have me to do? And the first word that he says after that from Christ, go. Go. And that's what terrifies some of us, isn't it? You know, you say, boy, I'd like to, but I don't know what would happen if... I understand that. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. You know the story of Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up and the seraphims and the cherubim. And the Lord says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me, send me. You know, it might be a wonderful thing to be famous, to be lifted up in the eyes of society. But folks, I can say with the honesty of my heart, I'm serving the King. And I wouldn't trade what God's allowed me to experience in serving Him for anything this world has to offer. I mean that. There's no way in the world, I told the young people in the Bible class the other morning, I said, there's no reason why God should reach down the middle of an Iowa cornfield. He said, son, I want you. Never thought I'd ever leave the state of Iowa. That's God's promised land for you folk here. But I never thought I'd leave the state of Iowa. I never thought I'd ever leave the United States. I mean, when I went to Bible college in Minnesota, it was like going to a foreign country. You know, it just... Then God's allowed me to travel to over 60 countries around the world to preach the gospel. And there's no reason why. You know, I told the young people, I said, I can't yodel. You know, I can't jump over the communion table stiff-legged. I don't have any. But when He says, I want you, I can say, yes, sir. I can obey Him. And let Him be my guide. And if He's your guide, hang on. You're on for the ride of your life. I guarantee you. So, if you and I are going to be sent, we need to, first of all, be willing to present ourselves. And there are many other illustrations we could glean from the Word of God. But secondly, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves. When I was a small child, I was in Boy Scouts. And maybe some of you have been. But the motto of the Boy Scouts was, be prepared. That's a good motto. That's why you send your children to school, so they can be prepared. That's why you teach them certain things, so they're prepared. Because one day, the little bird's going to fly away from the nest, and he's going to go out there in that world, and he needs to be prepared. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, please. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. The Bible says, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Preparation. And I want to go back to a portion of Scripture that I know your preacher preached on Sunday, Acts chapter 13. And I think we have a wonderful illustration of what I'm trying to say this evening. Let me say this. In Belarus, which is part of the former Soviet Union, 18 different missionaries went to Belarus when this so-called democracy and freedom became a reality. Today there's one left there. And he's with Baptist World Mission, and he's home right now because of health reasons. We send a lot of folk to the mission field who've never been prepared to go to the mission field. Every missionary ought to have an internship under a pastor. He ought to work with the church. He ought to know what the workings of the church. He ought to know something about church planning before he ever goes to another country. And there's so many casualties today. Folks, listen to me. We are losing the battle today as far as missionaries and per capita compared to what it would have been 100 years ago. 50 years ago. We're losing the battle. And folks, listen. That means we need more volunteers, and we need more folk who will open their pocketbook and say, we want to help you get there. It's imperative. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Maim, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I mean, here were men who were busy for God, even though they hadn't been called to a mission field or to a church. They were busy. God's not going to call somebody who's sitting in his lazy boy saying, oh God, please call me. And you don't do a lick for the cause of Christ. You need to get in your local church, and you need to do, listen, you need to serve God in any way you can. You need to be prepared. My pastor told me, he said, Brother Cadwell, when I was just a student of Bible college, he said, whenever you have a chance to give a testimony, to preach, he said, you do it. And some folk come to church, they taste of the dessert and go home. Instead of saying, what can I do to advance the cause of Christ through this local church? Let me ask you a question. How many of you are sorry you got saved and you wished you'd have never been born again? You say, preacher, that's a stupid question. It's amazing how many people call themselves Christians act like that. Come to church Sunday, flip God a quarter, and then folks, it's not I have to read my Bible every day. It's not I have to pray every day. It's not I have to go to church every Sunday. It's a privilege to read my Bible. It's a Listen, I'm a dirty, hell, rotten, hell-deserving sinner, and I don't deserve any of the grace of God, but because I'm a child of God, I can commune with my Heavenly Father every day. I can fellowship with Him. And folks, when you pray, you're not praying to something somewhere. You're talking with God. Can you imagine that? You and I get to talk with God? These men were prepared, and then the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein to I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. God is a sending God. Just a couple of the verses in this matter of being prepared. 2 Timothy, please. Second Timothy chapter 2. These are the two verses that we use as our verses for our school in Ukraine. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And then drop down to verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Though I never heard Dr. Bob Jones say this, I, many years ago, bought his little book on chapel sayings. And one of the things he would say is that you take care of the room that you're in, and when you've done a good job and you finish that room, God will promote you to a larger room. And that's what we're saying tonight. You be prepared. You be a faithful Christian where you are. And then somewhere along the line, God say, "Hey, I believe I can trust that guy. I believe that couple could do a great work for me in South Korea. I believe God could use those folks in Brazil." And it is terrifying to think about going to another country, especially in the world that we live in today. But you've heard this said many times, and the most dangerous place in the world, if that's the will of God for you, that's the safest place in the world. And the safest place in the world, if you're out of God's will, is the most dangerous place for you to be. You say, "Brother Cadwell, God's not going to send me. I'm 922 years old and, you know, God's just not going to." And God doesn't send everybody to the mission field. I understand that. God doesn't call everybody to a preaching ministry. I understand that. But you say, "Brother Cadwell, what can I do?" Every preacher's got an answer for a question like that. We have a little card that we have. It's kind of a bookmark. It's what we built for. And pictures on the front, Slavic Baptist Institute. But on the back, it's how to pray for your missionaries. I was in a meeting in West Virginia. Church about that big. You know, there was not very many people there. And probably 80% of them were 75, 80 years or so. Not a lot of potential there for young couples to go to the mission field. And I thought, "Man, what am I going to say to these folk?" So I sat down and scribbled some things down from Acts 13 on how to pray And folks, listen to me. You don't know the blessing it is when someone comes up to you and says, "Brother Cadwell, we pray for you every week." I have a family. I've never been in this church, but they sent me an email. They said, "Today was the day for us to pray for you." Many, many times I would get home from a trip. And you hear me, every time I went to Ukraine, it seemed like every time, before, during, or after the trip, the devil was fighting us about something. And my wife would say, "On such and such a day, did you have a particular need? Was there something that..." And I said, and I think back and said, "Yeah, well, I was going through some stuff." And she'd say, "Well, God really laid on my heart to pray for you." She said, "Some reason, I felt like I should be praying for you." Folks, you can't pray too much for your missionaries. This is not something just to say to have something to say. I'm dead earnest about what I'm saying. Pray. 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 Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, it says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers." Pray that He'll send forth laborers for the harvest. I wish I had time this evening. I don't. To tell you a story of a fella who was a banker in Antigua in the West Indies. And he and his wife got saved, and the missionary in the island of Dominica had been kicked off the island because there had been a change in the government on that island. And they were listening to the Radio Lighthouse Christian station. They said, "Pray that God would send somebody to Dominica." Brother Challenger's wife didn't know any different. They were just new in the Lord. So they started praying that God would send somebody to Dominica. Now, Brother Daniels, who had been the missionary there, had worked on the Carib Indian Reserve, which was the last place where people actually ate flesh. They were cannibalistic. They weren't at the time he was there, but that was the last place. And I could stand here at night and tell you a lot of stories that curl some of your hair. But unbeknownst to anybody else, Brother Challenger's wife was a Carib Indian. And only a Carib Indian could go to that reserve and have a ministry. So they're praying, "God, send somebody." Well, you know what happened. God called Brother Challenger and his wife. We've been there several times to hold meetings for him. Your pastor has been there. Some of the sweetest people you'll ever meet in your life. Went on that. And I literally, folks, literally, I thought one night I was going to die. But we won't have time for the rest of the story. And I'm not joking. I thought it was... That was all there was to it. But I want you to notice Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, I know Brother Edward is ugly, but he's got beautiful feet. Amen? And that could go for most of us preachers. We may be ugly, but God's given us beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet? He said, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" You can pray if you can't go, and you can provide. If you can't be sent, you can be a sender. Okay? You can pray for those that are being sent, and you can say, "Lord, help me to provide for those that are being sent, that they might have their needs met." And I'd like to tell you a lot of stories tonight that I could tell you of what folk have done for the cause of Christ to send people to the regions beyond. God is a sending God. And I don't know who you are tonight and what your needs might be, but I know this. If you're here tonight, you've been arguing with God or been battling with God, or God's been speaking to you about giving your life to full-time service. Boy, you need to just say, here I am. Here am I, Lord, send me. To be one of the sent ones. Or maybe God's spoken to your heart because you've been kind of stingy and cold and careless about helping folk to get to the field. Let's stand for prayer, please.